We are back at it. Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we are back at it on a Wednesday. Joining me is Kyle Porter. Kyle, did you watch the national championship game, I assume?
I did. You know, talking about being on a hiatus, I think I decided that I dislike the month of December, just generally. Like, I just don't like it. Do you feel the same way?
There's a lot going on. You got holidays coming around. You got the gap between the end of the regular season and the bowls. I tend to agree with you.
Like, Christmas is fun. Like, we had a sweet time with our kids and family and stuff. But, like, you just can't get in a rhythm. Like, nobody's really working. Everybody's just kind of, like, hanging out. And there's no rhythm to – I mean, it sounds silly, but, like, my life is at least professionally, like, and yours as well. There's a rhythm to it based on – the sports schedules, and it's just so like weird and funky. And I'm glad to be out of it. I'm glad it's January. College basketball is getting cranking. It's fun to kind of start entering the spring semester.
Yeah. It seems like everyone's just kind of waiting for the new year. Everyone's like using their sick days and whatever vacation time, everyone's just mailing it in until the first of January. So I'm with you. It's good to be in a new year. I can't believe it's already 2017. I remember looking at my license when I was like 16.
Yeah.
And it said not 21 until 2000. God, I can't do the math, but it was early 2000s. And I was like, that just seems like an eternity away. And now it's 2017.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really crazy. But yeah, title game was extraordinary. Mrs. Pistols, we both stayed up and watched it, and she made it until about the end of the third. It lasted forever. Like, it felt like it was like a 6-hour game, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. I believe it was 4.5, but it felt every bit of 6 hours. And it's egregious too. Like, it doesn't need to be that long. Like, I know it's the national championship game and it's a bigger deal than any other game, but like, all the commercials lasted like five. They were like 5-minute breaks.
Yeah,
an eternity.
It was bad.
Great game though.
Oh, just incredible. That fourth quarter was just all time. It really, when did you feel like, okay, that's it, the game's over? Was it not until the end, or was it before that and you were surprised by the ending?
Well, I thought the game was over when it was 14-0 Alabama.
Yeah,
I thought the game was over then. And then I thought when they flashed the stat, like Bama was 97-0. But leading by double digits going to the fourth quarter under Nick Saban. Like,
yeah.
of course it's over, right?
Yeah,
there's no way Clemson can come back.
Curtains.
So I was surprised, and I picked Bama by 2 touchdowns, and I still don't think that was a bad pick. But all the reasons people were picking Clemson came true. Jalen Hurts couldn't get a first down, and Deshaun Watson went and won the game. And so it obviously came to fruition for Clemson. But it was a sensational game, but I saw Barry Trammell ranked it number one of all time. I'm not going that far. I thought the first half was slow,
yeah,
boring, not much happened in the way of highlights. It was a great game, probably the best since the USC-Texas game, but I would rank several national title games above it.
Well, USC-Texas, both teams were undefeated that year, correct? USC hadn't lost in like 3 years.
Right, both undefeated.
I can't put anything above that. I mean, it's going to have to be – I mean, this was great. It was really, really good. But that USC-Texas game, it felt historic as you were watching it, you know, just because pros all over the place. I mean, I know there were a ton of pros in this game too, but just like, I don't know, Heisman Trophy winner, multiple Heisman Trophy winners in that game. I do remember the USC-Texas game. It kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start as well. I was thinking about that as I was reading Barry's column. But, man, I think in 20 years I'll remember USC-Texas, and I'll probably remember this game, but not in the same way that I remember SC-Texas.
Yeah, it's iconic. The performance from Vince Young made it even more so iconic.
The Rose Bowl?
Yeah, the Rose Bowl. USC-Texas for me is number one by a long ways. And two, like everyone's saying, well, and one of Barry's big points was, well, this was Alabama. They were the evil empire. Everyone wanted them to lose, and they seemed insurmountable. USC, if they win that game against Texas, they probably would have broken Oklahoma's 47-game win streak. Or they had a chance to anyway.
Yeah.
That's how dominant USC was. That they were every bit as Alabama, and they had 2 Heisman Trophy winners on their team, and the guy who probably should have won the Heisman playing quarterback at Texas. And there were I just looked it up, Kyle. There were 49 players that went on to play in the NFL in that Rose Bowl. 49.
That's absurd.
Who were listed on the participation report went on to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know how many in a row USC had won. They won.
Well, I remember OU fans were in serious debate on the radio who to root for, because A, Texas is their rival, but B, USC was going to challenge the 47-game win streak. And that's like the holy grail for OU fans. They were seriously saying, I'm rooting for Texas over USC, a lot of them.
They'd won 34 in a row coming in, and that would have been 35. And then they won their first six of the next year, so that would have been 41. The record's 47, is that right?
47. Yeah.
47. Alabama had won 28 in a row coming into this game.
I think it was they were 14 like and 0, so they went like what 12-1 last year.
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I don't remember when they lost.
I think it was early. I don't know. They had won. They'd won a lot in a row. They were getting closer to three. You know, you tweeted out this great stat about Alabama, by the way.
this is one of the most absurd stats I've ever heard.
It was so like I read it and then I read it again and I was like, this can't. He must have like mishit a key or something. If Alabama's offense like just didn't exist, like if they didn't employ an offense, like if their offense went away, they still would have been bowl eligible. They would have won six games in 2016. That's insane.
If their offense got shut out the entire season, they would have gone 6-8.
That's just 6-9 now, but still. Like,
well, prior to the national title game.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a joke.
One of the most obscene stats I've ever heard in my life. That's how good their defense was.
Yeah.
And Clemson still shredded them.
Who stood out for you in the game? Like, obviously Deshaun Watson was amazing, but who else did you maybe – I remember you texted or got in Slack chat or something during the Alamo Bowl, and you said, who's Trey Carter? Like, this guy's crazy. Like, was there anybody in the Alabama-Clemson game that you had not seen before or watched, and you're just like, this guy's unbelievable?
I believe I put in the Slack chat, who the hell's 99? Well, who is that?
I didn't want to like completely discredit you by not knowing his name, but yes, that is exactly what you said.
There was another guy, like, oh, she just like sprouted out two defensive linemen I hadn't seen all year in the Alamo Bowl and just unleashed them. It was great. Glenn Spencer had been like hiding them under lock and key or something. For me, it had to be Renfro, obviously, the white wide receiver. And really, Kyle, it's not as if I wasn't aware of any of the Clemson players, because it's kind of cool in a way. It's kind of weird that I've almost like come up with Clemson a little bit, in that I covered them beating the tar out of OU in 2014 in Orlando. I was at that game.
Yeah.
And Renfro made a monster play in that game. Artavis Scott made a monster play. Artavis Scott, I believe, took the opening pass of the game to the house. And then that Boulware linebacker made a pick six in that game. And then obviously I watched Oklahoma play Clemson the following year in the Orange Bowl, and Boulware made a massive pick of Baker Mayfield. Renfro, I believe, scored again against Oklahoma. So I've almost been watching these guys for a couple of years now, and I couldn't believe all of them were still there. That was the amazing part.
Yeah.
So God, I was like, Boulware is still there making plays. My goodness. So it was really those three guys that I had seen for the last 3 years that stood out.
Yeah. Yeah, same for me. The Boulware is amazing. Scarborough for Alabama, obviously he had a huge game against Washington in the semis, but him going out was just killed them. I mean, that was their offense. Like, I don't know if do they not trust Hurts to throw it? Like, I guess I don't, or maybe they don't have enough. I mean, they've got OJ Mayo or whatever his name is.
He's 18 years old. I don't think they trust him.
At wide receiver, who's the receiver that caught the touchdown?
Hunter for Bama?
Yeah. OJ.
Oh, that's the tight end. OJ Howard. He's been there about 8 years.
Yeah, he's been there since OJ Mayo was in high school. They've got him. They've got Calvin. I mean, they've got guys at receiver that can catch it. I don't know. By the way, did you see the great tweet of somebody did a meme of Lane Kiffin where he's looking over his sunglasses, and he said, you can call me Ain Kiffin because I left my L in Alabama.
Oh man. I've seen that picture a million times.
I thought that was
him overlooking the glasses. That's pretty good. Twitter it was just sensational. Like big events like that.
Yeah, it's the best.
You can't not have Twitter open during games like that.
Yeah. Do you think that do you think that takes away from watching it? Or do you think it adds to it?
Oh, I think it adds to it. Like I have to have Twitter during big events like that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Scarborough. Just think of Alabama's getting better at running back. I tweeted this and I forgot two players. I'll add them in. Mark Ingram, Eddie Lacy, Trent Richardson, TJ Yeldon, Derrick Henry, Bo Scarborough. I feel like each running back is better than the next. I mean, Mark Ingram probably the least impressive on that list, right? He won the Heisman because he was the running back at Alabama and they were good.
Yeah.
I mean, Lacy had more yards the very next year.
Yeah. I mean,
so they're just the factory, and they have the number one overall player committed who's a running back who's going to be playing next year.
Yeah. It's really crazy. You know, I think it's interesting because you look at, you look at the early, like 2017 polls, you know, ESPN comes out with this way too early 2017 top 25, and Oklahoma State is ranked seventh, right behind Clemson, right behind Ohio State. I think Alabama was obviously, I mean, that's just a scheduled tweet. They're number one, but it's like you're watching that game and you're like, can Oklahoma State play with these teams? I mean, maybe, but it just, I feel like there's such a, and we've talked about this, but there's such a leap between, you know, hammering a team like Colorado and then playing a Clemson and hanging with them and playing a Bama and hanging with them and even playing an OU and taking them down to the wire. Oklahoma State's gotten hammered the last 2 years. And I'm really interested to see if they are ready to play at that kind of level with those type of teams.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State, skill player wise on offense, can hang with those teams. They can hang with anybody as far as receiver goes and quarterback. But I don't like their odds in a Final Four scenario in the trenches against a Clemson, against an Alabama, even an Ohio State who got just destroyed by Clemson. But like I said after the game, like Clemson and Bama, they rematch for the title. And they're up there every single year because they're top five in recruiting every year. The rest, the rest falls into place.
Yep.
Like, and I used to, and I got to give Dabo Swinney a lot of credit because when he first started, like he could recruit, but the results really weren't there. It's kind of similar to Gundy in a way in that he kind of figured out how to become the CEO. And now he's got that thing absolutely rolling. I mean, Clemson's not one of the, they won a national title in 81, but they're not the bluest of blue bloods. And he's turned them into just a monster. So he's obviously, grown into a great head coach.
Maybe we'll get Rudolph versus Rudolph in the 2017 playoffs.
Oh man, it would be like the Gronks playing against each other. They'd meet at half, meet at midfield, and bare-chested chest bumps. Aren't they kind of like the Gronks when they get together at the lake, Mason and Logan?
I think so. There's only two of them though. I think.
There's another one.
There's like 15 Gronks, aren't there?
There's not like a left tackle that can play at OSU.
There might be. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It stinks that football's over. You've talked about it a number of times, but college football's got the longest off season. I don't know if that's a real stat. I don't, but it feels that way. And
it's like 8 months.
Yeah, and it lasts forever. And you don't have the same kind of 12-month coverage that you do with the NFL. And so I think the NFL, it kind of feels like it didn't go away, you know. And the NBA doesn't go away. The NBA's off for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, baseball to me is barely off.
Baseball lasts forever. Golf lasts forever. Everything else is just forever. In college football, you're like, we just got started. Like, no, where are you going?
Well, I know you don't watch English Premier League, but their season ends, I think, the last week in May.
Okay.
And their preseason starts in like July. Like they take like a month off, and then they're back playing again. That's not including World Cup years where they play all summer. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, we need to do some toasts for the college football season. It's time for the Coop Ale Works Toast of the Week. Coop Ale Works, brewing great-tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the Flagship F5 IPA, the Bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get-together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. Do you have a toast, Carson?
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's Grand Porter Stout or Grand Sport, I always say the wrong thing, Grand Sport Porter to one Brent Venables. Mm. He was run out of Norman. I mean, they can say that, oh, they brought back Mike Stoops to be co-defensive coordinators, but he was already the defensive coordinator. It was basically a demotion. And he went out of his comfort zone, went to a place in Clemson that he hadn't coached in that part of the country. And now he's a national champion. He's done a hell of a job at Clemson. It kind of shows you, it proves, like all the coaches always say, you know, it's not the X's and O's, it's Jimmy and Joe's. No better example than Brent. He's getting legit five-star caliber defensive players, and look at the results. And it's fascinating to me. He's not become a head coach yet. I think he obviously is waiting for the right opportunity. But if I'm Kansas State, he's an alum. Whenever Bill Snyder decides to call it a career, I'm calling Brent Venables. That's my toast.
Yeah, I like it. I'm also going Clemson for my toast. I'm going to toast a Vader. I don't even know what those are called anymore. We just call them Vaders.
Vaders.
Elevator Wheat.
Elevator Wheat.
My second favorite beer to my second favorite sport, the sport of college football, to Dabo Swinney. He's just unbelievable. Like, you mentioned it earlier, but just the job that he's done. And I would imagine that going, no matter how many recruits you have or guy, you know, athletes you have or whatever, just going against Bama is a monumental task. And I can't imagine that it feels easy ever, that it felt easy during that. They didn't lead that game until after midnight. They didn't lead that game on the day it started, January 9th.
Second to go, yeah.
And they just hung in there, and he kept. I just think he's a great coach. I really do. And to play in back-to-back titles, to win one of them, the term that kept coming to my mind is a term that you use a lot for Mike Gundy. But Dabo Swinney's a made man. He can do whatever he wants at Clemson. He's going to get paid. He's going to make $7 million a year or whatever. And good for them. They, you know, they went and took it, and I thought it was a cool ending to the college football season.
Well, just think the reverence that Mike Gundy has for OU and how he coaches against them.
Mm-hmm.
And think about Dabo Swinney coaching against his alma mater, Alabama,
yeah,
a school he's won a national title at as a player. That's going up against, I can't imagine a more intimidating opponent, not only just because they're Alabama and they're Nick Saban and they're a bunch of freaks everywhere, but that's your alma mater. That is the school you probably hold the highest of regard.
Yeah.
And he had to beat him a second time. He had the rubber mat or the rematch. And I love, like I tweeted before his speech, I said Dabo's about to give an all-time speech after the game. And it was great. The my players, they won because of love. They love each other. Like that was great. And I always go back to the speech he had against who was it in the monsoon that they beat? And he's like, bring your own guts.
I think it was NC State.
Yeah.
Maybe Louisville.
I think it was Louisville. An absolute monsoon. They're on the field. The people had stormed the field. They bring your own guts.
If I'm a Clemson blog, that t-shirt is on the website before he gets off the field. Speaking of, we're about to have some everyday guy t-shirts. So
you're gonna say you need to print those. Yeah, long overdue.
They're the design is almost finalized and they're about to be printed. So there you go. Okay, I want to talk about some college basketball, but what do we need to do? Oh, we need to get to this week's uniform review brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. I want to talk about the title game uniforms. Which of the two uniforms do you like better and why? By the way, we had an all-Nike playoff again this year.
For every year so far, right?
Is it? Has it been every year?
Yeah, every year all four teams have been Nike schools.
That's amazing.
Obviously, I'm going with Clemson because I view Alabama much in the same way I view Penn State. I hate Penn State's uniforms. I think they are so plain and boring that it just detests me. And I've never liked Alabama's for the same reason. It's just like I can handle simple uniforms, but too plain for me. And I've always kind of liked Clemson's. I'm not a big fan of the all orange, but man, when they mix it up with some purple pants or something, I thought the combo, I'm always a sucker for 1-2-1 combos, and the orange, white, orange look great. And I feel like Clemson changed their numbers a little bit. They looked great. with the purple trim on them. I thought Clemson looked awesome.
Yeah, I'm Clemson also. I think their colors are great. Like, I love the orange and purple together. I like Bama's too. I like them more than you do. I like Penn State's a lot. I mean they do sort of look like, you know, the commercials where like
They don't have the rights to anything.
Yeah exactly. Like, you don't
it's
have
like the, Dr. Pepper commercial.
It's like, oh, we can just use a Penn State uniform.
But I'm
in on Clemson's. I love the paw on the helmet. It did look weird because their helmets had this they have the center stripe thing, and it's kind of outlined in like purple trim, but it looked black on the helmet. It was really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really strange looking. How do you feel about the diamond Nike check on the uniforms?
I love it. I like kind of commemorating something. You know, you've reached a different level here.
Yeah.
Like you're in the playoff. This is a different level. And their gloves had kind of the diamond Nike swoosh on it. It's a very subtle yet nice addition.
Yeah.
I have other uniform news for you.
Okay.
Did you see Uniform Authority is the Twitter account, named Oklahoma State the best Nike uniform of 2016. Just
wow.
Their entire catalog.
Is this like breaking news? Did this just happen?
No, it happened a couple of days ago, I think.
Oh, okay.
I saw it on Twitter. I meant to send it to you on the Slack, but I forgot.
Yeah, I've been kind of finding myself staying off Twitter unless it's during a big game. Have you found yourself kind of Twitter fatigued?
Oh, I can't afford to do that, because if anything's breaking, it's on there. And
yeah.
I have a job to do.
Yeah. I guess I just...
Yeah. I mean, what if Tiger posts another Mac Daddy Santa photo and you miss it?
I know. I'm kind of relying on somebody to like text me about it.
I should have texted you about OSU getting the Uni Authority Award.
Okay, I want to talk hoops. I do want to say real quick, just thanks to our sponsors for the fall, Chris's and Coop. They are both going to be back, I just found out, for the spring. So
awesome.
Yeah, just got a couple emails, so they are they're back on board. We've loved having them. Coop's obviously great. We've been talking about them all fall, and Chris's as well. They've been great to work with. They've got some great gear for the spring. I think they're the ones that did they produce those Omaha shirts last year, the baseball ones.
I think so, with the OS on it.
Yeah,
OS logo.
That was fantastic. I always enjoy their baseball stuff, so
yeah.
Thanks to both of them. They've been tremendous to work with, and we are looking forward to continuing it. You went to Stillwater on Monday, and you talked to Brad Underwood.
Yeah.
Was that the first time that you'd done so this season?
First time interviewing him, just, you know, I was obviously at his introductory press conference, but first time I've ever really interacted with him. Couldn't be more impressed. Super nice guy. He was dealing with a head cold, so he just said, "I'm gonna give you a pound, not a full handshake, so you don't get sick."
I think
reasonable.
That needs to be like a cultural thing. Like, we just all need to go to pounds instead of like, I don't need to be, especially like, I've got friends that work in like sales, and they're like, I don't want to shake like 20 people's hands I don't know. You know, like, let's just do pounds. So I
and some people do it a little too hard. Some people do it a little too soft. It's like do I come in full bore? Do I half it up? It's a mess. Let's just pound and get it done. But no, I interviewed him for a little segment we do called Five Things You Didn't Know, which whenever that airs, I'll be sure and send a link. It's just off the wall. Like, you know, what's your favorite concert you've ever been to? Those type of easy, fun questions. And he was great. And I also asked him, you know, a couple serious ones. I asked him about the everyday guy moniker.
Yeah.
How it came about. And he gave a very long, detailed answer. It's just kind of something he came up with, and it's just kind of become a calling card. And all the players are all about it too. They were asked about it, and that was pretty fantastic. But the thing that stood out the most was I asked him, you know, even in your coaching career, surely you've envisioned what it would be like to win a national championship. What do you envision when you see that? And he gave a great answer where he said, "I envision Jim Valvano running around the court." He goes, "That's probably what I'll do." Anthony said something like, you know, it's just the culmination and I'll get real emotional. Probably there'll probably be tears and the whole gamut of emotions. So it was super cool guy. We didn't get to hobnob too much because we had to do the, I had to knock my interview out first before he did all the, you know, the big group interview. So I was trying to hurry. So yeah. I didn't have time to tell him to bring back the curse of uniforms.
that's great. You know, he seems like a guy and you probably have a better sense of this than I do, but he seems like a guy who, he just loves basketball. Like if he's just at home, like on a Thursday night, like he's just going to watch an ACC game that's between like two terrible teams just because he loves college basketball. Kind of the same type of vibe you get from Gottlieb. I don't think all coaches are like that. I don't know about Travis Ford. I don't know. Eddie Sutton seemed like that. Like they just immersed in it. Like that's just what they love. Not only is it their job and it's what they do and do well, but they just love it. Did you get that sense in talking to him?
Yeah. And the greater sense I get talking to people that work around there and work with him was very laid back, which he comes across as this very imposing figure, but the vibe I got and what I was told was it was a very laid back atmosphere. It's very relaxed, very accommodating, I guess the better word to say. And I didn't really I expected, you know, more of like a drill sergeant environment, but it was very relaxed, very loose, and it was very fun. I had a good time up there. And but man, their backs are against the wall though. So
yeah, what did you think about the Baylor game on Saturday? I know you got to see some of it. Were you encouraged? Were you discouraged? I mean, the first 0-3 start in conference play since the Atlanta Olympics, 1996.
Wow.
Not good.
Well, I think the schedules had a big reason for that. I mean, West Virginia at home's no picnic, and then Baylor on the road right out of the gates, no picnic as well. So the schedule hasn't been very accommodating, but I was encouraged with how they played at Baylor. I mean, we all kind of expected them to get blown out, right? So I thought it was a good performance considering they just the Texas game was the huge loss. You can't afford to lose to that team. That's a game you got to win if you want to make some noise in the conference. But yeah, they're behind the eight ball, so to speak. But I mean, man, they got to go to Lawrence on Saturday. They got Iowa State at home Wednesday. Like it's just the Big 12 is a gauntlet.
Yeah, it is. I think you just got to hang in, you know, like you're on the back end of this, you're going to get some easier games. You're going to get some teams at home that maybe you can beat. You might be able to beat Baylor at home. You know, they got hammered by West Virginia last night. And
yeah.
I think that, I mean, you get to 8 or 9 wins, get to 9 wins. I think you're in, you know, get in the tournament. And
I think even 8, like, I think you can go 8 and 10.
Yeah. If that's the case, it might depend on whether you beat Arkansas in that SEC Big 12 game. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, Tech is seemingly a lot better. Kansas State's not bad. I mean, it's going to be so difficult to get to 9 wins and you can't lose that Texas game. I mean, that's just such a backbreaker. And, I don't know. I thought the way they played on Saturday was super encouraging. It feels like they can't get everybody going offensively at once.
Yeah.
Either.
They finally get Phil turns into the flaming human torch and Juwan is like 2 of 12.
Yeah.
And foul trouble.
Leighton was 3 of 13. And, yeah, it was not a great shooting night. But
was Baylor using like a green strobe light to light the arena? What was up with that?
I don't know. I think they had like Matt Rhule like using his phone to light the place up. It was
hard to watch, man. It was awful. Terrible. It was like worse than the old Gallagher cam where it was like hanging over the top of the court.
I feel like their like Adidas has just given up on their uniforms. They're just like, just throw some fluorescent on there somewhere. It doesn't matter. We'll just wherever.
Yeah. Like, you can be highlighter. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. They're so bad. Like, I don't know what I'm looking at on there.
Did you see my tweet that the national title game lasted longer than their number one ranking? That was last. Oh, yeah, you're not on Twitter anymore, so you didn't see that.
No, I'm not on Twitter. I've just been trying to stay off because I feel like I'm...
Just missed that tweet. It was great. It was so appropriate.
My wife loves it when
I was proud of that one.
When I tell her about my tweets, how good my tweets are.
That one should have got more likes, I think, but oh well.
he referenced Ken Palm to you. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes. I asked him about, I'm sure you would have fainted had you heard this explanation. You just would have been beside yourself. I asked him, you know, just about the gauntlet that is the Big 12.
This segment is brought to you by OKC Dave. Okay, go ahead.
BCFToys.com.
Yes.
Also corporate sponsors. I asked him just about the gauntlet of the Big 12, like just how ridiculous it is. And he goes, well, we're 31, Ken Palm, and we're ninth. And he goes, and he just kind of stares at me and goes, 31? 31, and we're ninth. So, yeah, pretty tough. It was a great answer. And I just was thinking, like, it kind of goes back to what I was talking to you about, Brad, a few podcasts ago, just how progressive he kind of is with Golden State theory of playing a lot of guards. Just he seems very into the sabermetrics of the game, the analytics of the game. I don't ever remember Travis Ford quoting Ken Palm, for instance. So it's just, I think Brad is kind of this old school guy with the new school mentality. It's a very fascinating mix, and that's why I'm so optimistic about him. But yeah, I mean, I was leery when they beat Wichita State. I voiced that to you. Just it felt like they were kind of just overachieving in a way.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to when Brad can get two or three years of his own guys in there and just see what he can do.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
But that was interesting. I'm sorry. Just the Ken Palm stuff was fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And if you look at the way his team is structured, it's very much advanced metrics friendly. And what I mean by that is there's this thing called the four factors, and it's effective field goal percentage, turnover percentage, offensive rebounding, and then free throws attempted. And his teams are either really good in those categories or really good at keeping other teams from being good in those categories. So Oklahoma State's turning teams over 25% of the time. That's fifth in the country. Oklahoma State's offensive rebounding, they get 40% of missed offensive shots. That's sixth in the country. So not only is he referencing Ken Palm, but I think he's very dialed into his teams being good at the things that bring about college basketball wins.
Well, yeah, it's almost like a mathematical formula in that, you know, the parts, they matter, obviously. You got to have good players, like Juwan Evans matters. But it almost feels like, man, that it's just a winning formula, and you can plug in a lot of different players in there and still be successful. And I watched the West Virginia game against Baylor. They forced 29 turnovers against Baylor.
Yeah.
Like that's the formula he uses, the Huggins formula. And that to me is what is truly exciting. It's like, wow, wait till he gets some just a roster full of his own guys with this formula, and what's gonna happen. Like, my goodness. And the biggest problem, Kyle, is, you know, wait till he gets some big men. Like, I like Gasan. He's done well so far. Solomon's still Solomon, and that's where they're really struggling, is where those guys Gasan gets in foul trouble in like 30 seconds every game, and that's been killing him. But just I look forward to when he has his own big men in there as well.
Yeah, I agree. Baylor turned it over 37% of its possessions last night, by the way. That seems like
It's like the Baylor offense in football. Why doesn't everyone do that? You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't everyone run the Huggins system?
Yeah. West Virginia's number two in Ken Palm, by the way. I feel like that loss, like, at the time, like, when Oklahoma State was playing at home the day after the bowl game, it didn't feel like, I don't know, West Virginia was ranked 11th. I don't think people knew how good they are. They're really good. Like, they might be a top five team. They might be as good as Kansas. I don't think they're going to win the Big 12, but they're awesome. And so I don't think that that loss to West Virginia is as big of a deal as it felt like at the time.
They might win the league, Kyle.
You think they could?
They finished second last year. Everyone forgets they finished above OU, who made the Final Four last year.
They did.
They're really good.
They lost to Tech. They lost in overtime at Tech, which is not great. But yeah, they're going to be good, and they've got
Who are we kidding? We know Kansas is winning the league. The rest is just details.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what else? Oklahoma State, Iowa State tonight at Kansas on Saturday. Hopefully, Juwan Evans will be doing backflips in Lawrence Fieldhouse.
Can he do a backflip, or does he do a back handspring?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he seems like maybe a handspring guy. Okay, before we wrap up, we need to hear one more time from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit.
Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit.
Okay, anything else you want to discuss, talk about?
I think that was all. I mean, did you see the Gundy at the conference?
Yeah, the American Football Coaches Association.
Yes, he was just kind of talking about his. You have a post about it on Pistols Firing. That's how I know about it. So of course you know about it. But the 94th annual American Football Coaches Association convention, and it was pretty fascinating. The tweets. I guess Kyle Cox wrote up the article on your website. Just the quotes from Gundy about how he approaches practice, how he approaches millennials and their cell phones. Which also actually brings me back to Brad Underwood. You know, the big talking point at practice the other day was how Underwood banned cell phones at dinner and how it like forced the team to like interact with each other, which I thought was fascinating. And all the players were like, yeah, it kind of opened our eyes. Like one of I think it was Jeffrey Carroll said he learned that Juwan Evans had a brother. He didn't know that.
I saw that.
I was there for all these quotes. I haven't read the stories that ended up making the quotes and all that, but it was kind of fascinating. And I was at Thunder practice yesterday and it came up, someone watched a thing with like an original TV show, like an original daily show with like Meredith Vieira, with the original iPhone came out 10 years ago. And in that show 10 years ago, she was like, are people really going to be on their phones all the time? And it's exactly where we're at now, to where the coaches have to ban them in order for their team to interact with each other.
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting. I love millennials. That's a great Gundy. We might have to add that to the bingo card next year.
Absolutely. That's going on the bingo card.
These millennials, how do you know?
I thought
the best thing he said, and it's to me, I think one of the underrated things about Gundy is the culture that happens at Oklahoma State, not only for the players, but for the coaches. He said, I'm reading the tweet from Doug Samuels, who was there. I think he's associated with coachingsearch.com, I believe. Football Scoop, sorry. Anyway, Gundy said he tells head coaches if they're grinders and they want their staff to put in late hours / miss their kids' events, then maybe you have too many plays. And I thought that
was so great.
I thought that was great. Now the cynic among us might say maybe you don't have enough like at Bedlam, but I think that there's something to be said for work-life balance, and college football is not the place that we see it very often. And so I'm really, I don't know. It's cool to see. I'm glad that Gundy is progressive in that area.
Are you saying Gundy had a few baseball tournaments the week of Bedlam to attend?
He might have been.
But no,
he was great in Stillwater film, I think, for Gandalf or whatever.
You might be right. But no, it goes back to, you know, Gundy's a total player's coach. Like he is. He's a player's coach because he was one. He remembers when Pat Jones was making him practice for 3 hours and how bad that sucked. So he has him go. Like you can get as much out of a team in an hour and a half, you can just go hard as you can 2.5 hours. And that was like, I remember when he took over, I was in school, and that was a big talking point amongst the players, like in the paper and stuff, was, you know, Les Miles had these like just eternity practices, lasted 2.5 hours, and just people were slogging around. And like the first thing he did is when he was a coach was make the practice like an hour and a half. Yep. And like the players were just raving about it, and he keeps them fresh, I guess, is what he's right about the keeping them fresh part too, about the tackling.
Yeah.
Like OSU's been relatively healthy on the defensive side, you know, for the last few years. Right. Can you remember a serious injury?
Ryan Simmons, probably.
But that was during a game though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking like, you know, this guy's not available because he was hurt in practice.
Well, and I think the thing behind it, and there's a tweet here about Gundy caps coaches meetings at 40 minutes and practice at 1 hour and 40 minutes to keep to help keep guys engaged and fresh. There's lots of research behind it. I don't know if Gundy was doing that research or if it was presented to him, but it's
bingo.
It's
makes up a percentage.
It's so smart because I think the super interesting thing here is it takes somebody who is you can't be scared, you can't be fearful to do something like this. I think coaches practice for a long time because they're scared that of not preparing well enough or of not like they don't want to have not done enough. And Gundy's like, I don't care about that. I'm not scared. And then the irony of all of this is he goes out in Bedlam and looks scared on the field. So I don't get that part of it, but I just think it takes, you gotta be pretty bold and kind of brazen to do something like that. And clearly it's worked out for them.
Totally. Did you see also, he said, if Rob Glass ever leaves, he'd have to find something else to do.
Yeah. He's right about that.
I've always wondered, like, you know, Glass came from Florida. I've always kind of waited for him to go back to the Gators, but I guess he's going to stick around.
You know how much money he makes at Oklahoma State?
$400,000, right?
$400,000. That's public information. I'm not dropping any.
That's not sources.
No sources. There's a Tulsa World database. He's paid well, and Gundy knows where his bread's buttered, and that's with Rob Glass training the defense and offense to be good. So
I think Florida State's pays theirs $500,000.
Really? Is that the guy that got like a DUI or something?
Yeah, and he just goes nuts on the sidelines. I think Jerry Schmidt might make $500,000 or $600,000 too at OU.
Wow. Well, maybe it's time for a raise maybe that's why Gundy hadn't signed his contract yet.
Maybe he wants to pay Rob. He wants Body by Glass to get compensated. Still haven't signed that contract, by the way. Kyle Fredrickson reported they still haven't signed that.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, Mike Holder was at basketball practice. I should have brought an olive branch over and said, you and Mike going to work this out? Do you want me to be the liaison between you two?
Yeah, you should take a cut. Gundy doesn't have an agent, I don't think. You should step in. Maybe OKC Davis stepped in.
He would be better at crunching the numbers than I would.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Carson, good times to be back at it, talk about the national title. Excited about this college basketball season, and we will talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, see you.